to hell.
Or experience kills, as it's often known, with me, Richard. You've interrupted my dark intro, Ben.
I laughed at your joke. I don't think that counts as an interruption. Jesus.
Oh, that'll do. All right. Let's break the tension, because I'm sure people are thinking, am I brave enough to carry on? But you've dispelled it now. It's fine. Okay. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. What's going on? Why are we here? What's happening? I don't know. Who am I?
You're Ben.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about Hellpoint, which is a Dark Souls type game. I'm going to call it a Dark Souls type game because I know it's not cool to say that anymore, but it is one. And
it's probably the most Dark Souls-y game that isn't Dark Souls that I've played.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, full stop.
It is, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people say, oh, look, you can pick up experience after you've died. That must be like Dark Souls. Or it's got a hard boss. That makes it Dark Souls. But this is pretty much Dark Souls with a bit of a paint job and an upgrade for space-like features and storyline. So not the fantasy elements that you will be familiar with from Software's catalogue, but more of a Event Horizon type of vibe, I think, or Dark Space, well, something like
isn't
that.
Isn't one of those things that people have said, I want a sci-fi Dark Souls? Well, here you go. This is that. This is sci-fi Dark Souls. Like you said, Event Horizon. What I felt like when I played the demo, because they had a demo for it in the Summer Games Demo Fest thing they did on Xbox.
Yeah.
And the way I described it to you was like, it was Dead Space comes meets Dark Souls, basically, wasn't it? It was like that kind of occult, science fiction-y, dark, twisted. Yeah, it's interesting though, because one of the things I liked about it did feel like a unique universe. Like it has its own speech, doesn't it? It has their own language and everything that has to get translated. Like they all have their, like, they've literally come up with a whole language for the game, which I thought was pretty cool and unique. I don't know if that was in Dark Souls before, but made me think of like Orcish and stuff from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
like, completely invented. Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of that, it feels distinct, but I think in gameplay terms, to me, it very much felt like, what does Dark Souls do? Let's make a new asset for that and give it a new name. So stuff like the bonfires from Dark Souls obviously are in this, but they're called, what are they? Are they breaches or something now?
Yeah, they're like the rift things, rift, aren't they? Rift, yeah. Breaches, something like that, aren't they? That you see and you have to like put your hand in and be like, ooh, magic, science fiction stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a portal now instead of a bonfire, but it does all the same stuff. You can level up there. You can transform what items that you've picked up into the equivalent of souls and to increase stats in various areas exactly as you would expect to. So all of that is familiar. The combat itself is similarly familiar to Dark Souls fans. So shield on one arm, some sort of melee weapon on the other. You can set that, switch weapons in and out. You've got some ranged weapons in there too. Heavy attack, light attack, block, parry, rolls to dodge, and locking on with the right stick. It's all the same controls and plays exactly as you'd imagine it would. It's just a different kind of skin for people who, I don't know, I can't say this is the first sci-fi take, because we've had The Surge and The Surge 2, haven't we? But this is the first that feels like it's got that occult edge, like you said.
Yeah, I think the Surge and The Surge 2 actually do more to differentiate themselves from Dark Souls than this does. This, I think it's really interesting because, like, you've just described Dark Souls, and especially in the controls, it is. This is the reason you probably get on with this game, and why I don't. Like, this has exactly the same frustrations for me that Souls games have for me. Whereas the Surge changed up enough to actually make me engage with it more. But whereas this is just kind of torture for me. Like, I did not enjoy my time playing this game, and it's not the fault of the game. It does what it does well enough. It's just not my kind of cup of tea in any way, shape or form, from the tone to the aesthetic to the difficulty to the onboarding. All of that is straight up Souls and the way I don't like it. So
You complained about the onboarding, but again, straight out of Dark Souls, it's got you know, there's handprints on the walls that if you read them, they will tell you a thing, like
press A to jump.
Yeah, press B to dodge. And alongside those, you'll get messages from other players as well. So, you know, that familiar message mechanic where other players can give you insights into what's in the world to help or hinder. Other players can invade the world as well. So I found that to my shock and horror fairly early on. Someone was able to do that. Doesn't really give you a lot of breathing room to avoid that in the early moments of the game. I think probably because anyone playing this doesn't need any onboarding. They've played Dark Souls. They know what this is. They just want it to feel a bit different in terms of where they're playing the game. So it's in space. That's the difference. The rest of it, you'll feel absolutely at home with it. And it does a pretty decent job of it. I think, you know, as Dark Souls clones go, it's one of the better ones. It feels authentic. And it feels like it does a good job of setting up challenge. You can't just power through and kill everything. You know what you need to avoid visibly. You think, even without a level indicator above an enemy's head, you think, right, that one is not one I can handle right now. I have to come back to that. And then if you are tempted into fighting it, you're like, no, I was right first time. I'll come back to
that later on. That's good. Now, I noticed that even early on. Obviously, you've got like the grunt zombie enemies, and you're like, okay. And then there was like this big dude with like a headdress and a staff, and I was like, clearly, I will not be able to handle that shit right now. Like, so yeah. I'm just going to run the F away. Like, and I think there was one environment with loads of enemies and dudes like that, and I was just like, I'm not engaging anything here. I'm just booking it to the exit. Yeah. And it's like, that's well designed. It's telegraphed in a way which makes it clear that that's how you'd handle that situation. I got as far as the first boss, basically. And even then, I was playing the boss, and the patterns were pretty obvious, and I got what needed to be done. I understood it. You know, I still died in my first attempt, but I understood the way to play those games. I get it. I've had more experience than I did when I bounced off the Souls franchise. I've played Sekiro, I've played Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, I've played The Surge and Surge 2, you know, so I get those games. Some I enjoy more than others. For me,
there's so many people going to be listening to this. He said Star Wars Fallen Order.
Well, but that's like the most... Yeah, but that's baby's first Souls, isn't it? I mean, that's where I'm at. These types of games just aren't for me particularly. But what will get me through a game like this is the setting and the unique elements that will differentiate it. And this doesn't give that to me. I mean, the setting here is fine. I actually quite like it, but it is unrelentingly miserably dark. I mean, that's my only problem with it. There's really no light in there to actually, you know, make me want to do anything. I mean, as far as I can tell, I'm not even a good character. I don't know what I am or why I'm there or what I'm doing. I'm sure there'll be a lot more of that throughout as you go through the experience. But, you know, put me in the Surge and I get it and I understand the concept there and I I'm interested in it. Star Wars, obviously, I'm a hero, I'm a Jedi, I get that and why I would want to go through that. But this is just, oh God, a slog. A horrible, horrible slog for me.
I think your lack of patience is showing here, Ben. So you haven't got to the point yet where you're able to fashion your character in the direction that you would want to. So where you've got to... not having beaten that first boss, and I have, by the way, because I'm better than you. So not having beaten that first boss, you haven't had the opportunity to see the customization options, the different clothes that you can equip, different weapons that you can upgrade. You get to an observatory shortly after that boss, and that's sort of your hub where you can take back any equipment or items that you've found on your travels, break stuff down, craft new items, upgrade existing items, and that's where it starts to come into its own, and you'll find that you're able to make choices as a character as well. So you have conversations with other NPCs that dictate who you are and what you're doing.
So at the moment you've got no frame of reference for
why you're doing any of that, and that's deliberate. You're sort of birthed at the beginning of the game as a spawn, aren't you? And the idea is you're finding out who you are in true RPG fashion. So, I think it does set that stuff up well, actually. It's the more the mechanic side of it that probably frustrate you in terms of it being a Souls game and not feeling like you want to press on too far. Because that first boss, not too difficult as Souls games go, but you know, for the sort of game you would normally play, probably too much challenge to make it worth it.
Yes, I admit this. I'm not hiding from the fact that I prefer a bit more of an instant gratification from my video games.
Yeah.
Or at least cohesive story to drive me through the challenge. One or the other. I will ask you a question though. We were recently talking about another game in a previous video in which we discussed the onboarding and that not setting out what needed to be done in a clear way.
Yeah.
Why do you give Souls games a pass on that?
I don't generally. I do in this specific instance because it does the onboarding that Souls games do. People that are interested in this game will inevitably have played those games
before. Yeah, but why does that give it a pass? Just because the other games have done it and it's sort of expecting a level of understanding and knowledge of that genre, that shouldn't mean it doesn't get to onboard the player well in a way that is actually understandable to someone. I mean, surely that doesn't just give it an automatic pass, but that seems to kind of be what you're doing.
I think there's a reason for the uncertainty that is fostered in this sort of game. I think there is a purpose to it, so I give it a pass for that reason. I think the whole point of this game is to unsettle the player. You can't pause them, you can't have an easy way out, there's no tutorial as such. You've just got to do it, and that is part of the experience. I know people have said over the years, but it's a bit snobbish to expect everyone to fall in line with a difficult experience, but you know, they have their place. Some people like them, and I think an easy onboarding system for this sort of thing would miss the point. That said, there is sort of an out in this which Souls games don't have, and unfortunately we haven't had the chance to try it. I think it's been removed from the game because of issues that were found pre-release, and it will be put back at some point once they fixed it. But multiplayer, there's online multiplayer in this, so you can pull in a second player to do the adventure with you if you don't feel confident of doing it yourself, which would have been ideal for us, wouldn't it?
Oh man, I'd love that. You could have Sherpa'd me through that so well, like, you know, helped me through the bigger fights, explained it to me a little bit more, you know, the mechanics. That'd have been perfect. I'd have been well up for that. Yeah.
So totally. Having not played it, I don't know exactly how that works. It sounds as if it's different to the usual Dark Souls, pull a random player in from wherever when you want to fight a particular boss or something. That's very much still a solo experience, but you can get temporary help. This sounds as if you are actually playing the game cooperatively. And you know who you're playing with. You can just pull a friend in. So that is a big change. And it'd be interesting to see how that affects the balance of the game. But I'd like to try that out once it becomes available, Ben, and see if that changes
Absolutely.
Your perception.
Yeah, I'd be keen to. I think that's the sort of feature that would make me much more interested in this kind of game. Yeah, it's just saying that there is local co-op. That does work currently, but obviously neither me or you have been able to try that because our respective other halves have less than zero interest in a game like this. I think I'd probably just get punched at the mere inference of playing a game like this. I mean, she's playing Ooblets right now, put it that way, okay? Like, not going to play Hellpoint.
Not really in the same ballpark. Split screen co-op, that is a first for this sort of game, I think. So definitely adding something to the genre there, Hellpoint, even if it's borrowing a hell of a lot itself. So
there's one other mechanic I'm aware of that is unique that it doesn't really get explained from what I've seen. I've read about it in the literature around this game, which is the whole thing to do with the black hole you're orbiting and how it affects the enemies. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, so in real time, the space station that you're on moves around this black hole, and if it's in view, that has a direct impact on the difficulty of the enemies. That feels like it's taken from Breath of the Wild a bit. Do you remember the Blood Moon mechanic in that?
Nope.
Mate. Yeah, there's when it turned to night in Breath of the Wild, the sky would turn red and then all the enemies would get much harder.
Okay. So,
they've not made that. It sounds like they've nicked it from Zelda.
That Zelda game is too much like a Souls game. I just bounced off of it.
Listeners, he's not even joking.
I stopped playing. That wasn't why I stopped playing it, but I did stop playing it. Yeah. But yeah, okay. So, but that's not, I say, not 100% unique, but a bit different at least. You know, adding a modifier like that on a set schedule almost. So you know, don't go out at night, kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, well, at night the enemies are tougher. So it's sort of like in this case, when the black hole is shining, the enemies are tougher. So,
yeah. And it's got its parallel in other Souls games, like the thing about having increased humanity would increase the difficulty, I recall. Is that right? You're not going to know, are you? But I think there's some sort of system there in the other Dark Souls games that would increase the enemy difficulty and the risk.
Okay.
So yeah, good to see that they've put a different sort of spin on that. And yeah, I think bottom line, it is a reasonable interpretation of that genre. Does what it needs to do. They've targeted that audience and they know what those people want. One of those games. You'll know if you like it. And it does what it does work pretty well. So.
And it is like a first game, isn't it, from this little developer in Quebec, yeah?
I believe so, yeah. So Cradle Games, yeah. In Quebec. I don't know of any other games that they've done. Having done a little bit of research, I think this looks to be their first. And yeah, decent entry point. It's on a wide range of platforms as well. It's nice to see it appear on Switch at some point soon. But it's out for PC, PS4, and Xbox at the moment.
Which is where we played it, yeah.
We played
absolutely.
It on
hopefully, yeah, maybe we'll come back with an update or something, or talk about it in the podcast or something if we do get a chance to play it in multiplayer. That'd be cool.
Fingers crossed. In the meantime, that's been us in hell.
Inhale!
And until next time, thank you for listening. That's Experience Kills. I'm Richard. You can find me on Twitter at Colonel Red. Ben's also on Twitter at DIYE. And you can find us both together on Twitter, almost romantically, at Experience Kills.
I don't think there's much romance, but definitely carnally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say we're together carnally,
yeah.
Not romantically. Yeah, we have a website, don't we, as well, experiencekills.co.uk. Give us a like and subscribe on YouTube, it means a lot. And there will be audio versions of this video available on the podcast providers if you can't find the time to watch the gameplay.
Okay, so thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Adios.